D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Just over a year ago, same-sex marriage was illegal in many states. Now, those who think that biological males should not be allowed in the ladies' locker room are branded as bigots. How do Christians navigate this new environment? Find out on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program. I am Frank Wright, president of D. James Kennedy Ministries. Our nation has plunged headlong into cultural insanity, and it has happened with dizzying speed. It has never been more vital to understand what's happening from a cultural and a biblical perspective. Later on today's program, we'll take you to North Carolina, ground zero in the cultural war on gender. And Dr. Kennedy will share a biblical word with us on God's design for human sexuality. We will also tell you how you can help turn America back to sanity. But as we begin, we want to bring you a first-hand perspective from someone who was disastrously caught up in the entrenched cultural lies on human sexuality. That is, until he was delivered by the power of the gospel. I recently had a chance to sit down with David Kyle Foster, a professor and author who now ministers to those enmeshed in sexual sin. If there were one thing that you would say to the average member of a church who wants to minister better to those who are outside the body of Christ, who are in lifestyles that this church member couldn't even begin to understand, what's that one thing that they need to keep in mind in communicating with that unbeliever?
That it's the grace of God that teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to live upright and godly lives in this present age. You see, the person who's just come out of homosexuality, for example, they don't feel like they're going to be accepted in the church. And they're looking in people's eyes, and they'll know instantly whether they're accepted or whether they're feared or whether people want them gone. And so it's very important for us to keep an awareness of the fact that but for the grace of God, we might have gone in the same direction. And approach such people with an extra dose of grace, if you will, because they're extra sensitive to being rejected.
I imagine that some believers have confusion because there are gay churches and they call themselves Christians but continue to practice the gay lifestyle, and some Christians are maybe perhaps fearful of being accepting because it sounds like condoning. There's a real confusion of ideas here, isn't there?
Yes.
On the part of many people.
That's exactly right. A lot of people are afraid they're going to, in loving them, they're going to make it look to the other person as if their lifestyle is no big deal.
Yeah.
And so there has to be this balance of grace and truth that's communicated from the pulpit, grace and truth communicated from the pulpit, and then communicated one-on-one. We have been assuming that the person has repented and is no longer in the lifestyle.
Right.
But if you have somebody still in the lifestyle who's checking out the church, maybe the Lord's drawing them to salvation, but not quite yet,
yeah.
Then you have the problem you just described in spades.
Yes. And
what you want to do is respect them as people, let your theological position be known when asked,
mm-hmm.
and continue to love them. It is the love that transforms the heart. This whole sanctification process, it's not about learning how to be good. It's a process where we fall in love with Jesus at deeper and deeper levels.
Mm-hmm.
And that love becomes the motivation for obedience rather than some duty or some work or some obligation. Mm-hmm. And these people need to be led the exact same way. They need to feel the love first, know it's genuine, and then it'll become addictive to them.
Yeah. Part of the challenge, it seems to me, is that when you look at Jesus with the woman caught in adultery, he loved her, but he said, go and sin no more. He did both love and call to righteousness. We don't do that as well as Jesus did it, do we? We don't communicate the way as well as the master could and did, but that still is the pattern that he set for us to follow.
Yes. The problem today is most people don't know the Bible like Jesus did. They don't know how to, and they don't have the sensitivity to what's in someone's heart.
Sure.
That he had.
Right.
He read the heart. He did exactly what was going to work in that situation. Some people know the Bible, some ex-gays know the Bible more than people in the churches.
Mm.
And so if you start arguing theology with them, they'll win, actually, because the average Christian doesn't read their Bible anymore, or hardly at all. They don't know how to defend the faith. When it comes to push comes to shove, if they're spouting out the ridiculous gay theology that's out there, and it is all ridiculous, there's no scholarly basis to any of it.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible's crystal clear on this topic.
The character of God is crystal clear.
Exactly. So if push comes to shove, you always bear witness to the truth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It requires a great deal of courage to do what David Kyle Foster did, coming out of the homosexual lifestyle and proclaiming the transformational power available through Christ. Later in this program, you will see the fierce reaction against those who would maintain even the most basic of God-designed sexual distinctions. And there's a whole new movement of those attempting to use the Bible to justify sexual sin, even among some who profess faith in Christ. As Dr. D. James Kennedy shows us today, the enemy of our souls is quick to twist, obscure, and misuse the Word of God to lead people astray, calling things that are evil good, and calling things that are good evil.
An ancient story, a modern problem. In fact, one of the greatest moral, spiritual, and social problems of the last several decades. I refer to the problem of sodomy. And to the story wherein the city of Sodom gave its name to live in infamy in that perversion of sodomy, or as it is called today, homosexuality, or the gay lifestyle, if you prefer. And of course, I trust that the details of it are fairly clear. You recall that God said that the wickedness of Sodom had come up to heaven, and that he was going to destroy the city, and Abraham pled that he would not destroy the righteous with the wicked, and if there were 50 wicked, he agreed he would spare 40, 30, and down to 10. Apparently, there were not so much as 10 righteous people in the city of Sodom, and so the city was destroyed. Now, it's interesting that homosexuality and the homosexuals, which have literally created a revolution in our society and culture, have moved into the churches. In fact, they have established a whole denomination of metropolitan churches, 200 and some of them across the country. And so they now have been engaged in trying to twist the scriptures to justify their sin, which reminds me of Peter, who talks in his epistle about those who wrest the scripture unto their own destruction. Rest with a W-R. And that is exactly what these people are doing. And so they have redefined the sin of sodomy and the sin of the sodomites as being simply inhospitality. Inhospitable? My friends, if that's what it means, that they simply wanted to get acquainted and be hospitable, all the men from all the quarters, young and old, for the whole city came to know them. And to say that their sin was inhospitality is utterly absurd. And it reminds me that the weakness of any argument depends upon the lengths to which some people will go to try to defend it. And so they will go to any extent and length to try to defend their perversion as actually being scriptural. Be not deceived. My friends, the teaching of Scripture could not be clearer. I remember 20 years ago, somebody asked me if I thought that was a sin. I said, friend, if the Bible does not teach that sodomy or homosexuality is a sin, it doesn't teach that anything is a sin. It could not, in my opinion, be any clearer than it is. Well, what is their response? Anyone who says that homosexuality is a sin, they simply say this person is filled with hate. They are a homophobe. They hate homosexuals. What is their agenda, dear friends? You've heard of the gay agenda. Well, let me tell you some of the things in their agenda. One of them is DD up and DD down. And you've never heard of those things, so let me explain them. DD down means defining deviancy down. And Moynihan, in his study on this, shows that when deviancy becomes so prevalent in a society, societies tend to define deviancy down so that they can live with it. Otherwise, it becomes too uncomfortable to know that there are that many perverts of some sort, whatever kind, that are living around you. And so that's what they did in the American Psychiatric Society. They defined it down until it becomes normalcy. And they have done that. But what is DD up, defining deviancy up? It is taking the other side, which has always been known as normal, and defining that up into deviancy. And in a letter to the New York Times, Dr. Richard Isay, one of the most prevalent spokesmen of the group, wrote this. Listen to this. Quote, homophobia, the irrational fear and hatred of homosexuals. By the way, does anybody notice what I just said? You just heard a bit of DD up. Homophobia. You see, the problem isn't homosexuality anymore. We have a new phobia, a new deviancy. Homophobics. They're the deviants. They are irrational. They are the psychological abnormalities. Homophobia is a psychological abnormality. Those afflicted with it should be quarantined. That's DD way up. But there's another floor. And denied employment. America is being conned, dear friends. And the consequences are serious. May God give us the wisdom to wake up while we have time.
As Dr. Kennedy explained, sin is being defined downward. In just a few short years, we've gone from same-sex domestic partnerships to now a compulsory effort pressed by the President of the United States to allow men into women's public bathrooms in the name of tolerance. And you are expected to go along. Or else. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb takes us to North Carolina, ground zero in the battle over public bathrooms and locker rooms.
If you're born a man, you should go to the men's bathroom. If you're born a woman, you should go to the woman's bathroom.
When the federal government comes in and uses your children as pawns to push their radical agenda on the states, then the states need to fight back.
It is an attack on biblical Christianity.
The whole controversy in North Carolina began when the City Council of Charlotte decided in early 2016 to adopt a very open bathroom measure.
Charlotte passed a law that would have allowed men to go into the women's bathrooms and women to go into the men's bathrooms. But not just bathrooms, it included showers, locker rooms, any private spaces like that.
Had it stood, it would have forced businesses, both public and private, and churches to be forced to allow people to use the bathroom, the restroom, that they sexually identify with, regardless to their biological sex.
The state warned Charlotte that their proposed bill was unconstitutional and would be opposed by the governor and legislature, but the city council passed it into law anyway.
They passed a very radical ordinance, and they said that not only did you have to allow folks that are transgender to use the restroom facility, shower facility, locker room facility that they identified with, they went so far as to say, if you put names on bathrooms like male and female, man and woman, that's called sex discrimination. So effectively opening up bathrooms and locker rooms and showers to men, to prey on women.
And then the law also impacted businesses that contract with the city of Charlotte by requiring them to adopt broad sweeping LGBT policies just in order to maintain their contracts.
We had to call a special session, get in, make sure we got business done, strike it down before the ordinance went into effect on April 1st.
Thus, the state passed House Bill 2, restricting people to the bathroom of their biology. This new law sparked a firestorm of controversy.
So far, the state has taken a financial hit from the loss of conventions and concerts like Bruce Springsteen and Pearl Jam.
When we passed House Bill 2, the media came out instantly and said this is the most anti-transgender, anti-LGBT bill in the history of America, discrimination against the LGBT community. It's unfortunate because we've never created our laws based on people's feelings and identities. That's a very slippery slope to go down in America because there's no end to it. I mean, you can identify or feel like you're anything at any given moment, and who is to say that you're not? In fact, I called and talked to multiple CEOs and asked them, have you read the bill? And they said no, but they also, several of them told me that they were actually fearful of the Human Rights Campaign coming against them.
Even the President of the United States decided to punish North Carolina for the law by suing the state and threatening to withhold millions of federal dollars.
We are here to announce a significant law enforcement action regarding North Carolina's Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act, also known as House Bill 2.
We have the responsibility as North Carolinians to protect the right to privacy and right to safety of women and old children in North Carolina.
The battle of the bathrooms, it's honestly common sense that there shouldn't be a man in the bathroom with me.
The heart of the controversy turns on a new understanding of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and Title IX of 1972, which prohibit discrimination on the basis of sex. Does that now include prohibiting discrimination on the basis of gender identity? Critics note that would open up Pandora's box, because supposedly there are dozens of genders today, and because that can change from day to day or minute to minute.
At the last count, we had about 60 genders, and even the folks in the transgender community say that number is growing quite rapidly.
The Creator made two sexes. It's indisputable, male and female. And that is something that no one can argue with. It doesn't matter to me how one may sexually identify. Doesn't matter what one may think in their minds. God made the human race male and female.
Immediately, the left came out and said that, you know, North Carolina is this giant discriminatory state, you know, where people are hateful and they're bigots and all these types of things along the way.
In July, the NBA even announced they would move their 2017 All-Star game out of Charlotte because of the law.
It's unfortunate because really nothing changed in North Carolina before and after Charlotte's ordinance. What we had to do is codify what our law already said.
North Carolina is rated in the top five businesses across the country for business. It has one of the best climates for job creation and for economic stability.
They lie about House Bill 2 and what it does. No one is denied any rights except factory-made women and children who may be exposed to men in the ladies' room. And as a man, to be honest with you, sir, I don't want a woman, whether she thinks she's a man or not, in the men's room.
Despite it all, North Carolina remains strong in the conviction that there should be no men in the ladies' room or the girls' locker room.
We've heard from a number of ladies who have been molested in bathrooms who say this is a horrible thing for women.
The transgender community makes up 0.3% of the population. So 0.3% of the population is transgender. And we are being directed, not even asked, but directed by the Obama administration to make this huge accommodation for 0.3% of the population. My question for the Obama administration is, what about the other 99.7% of the population? What about their privacy and their safety?
You have seen what's happening in our culture as enormous pressure is brought by the government and activist groups to silence dissent and legitimize sexual anarchy. So what can we do about it? Well, here's my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, to tell us. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. Let's just be honest for a moment. What could be sillier than allowing men who claim to subjectively feel like women to shower in the women's locker room? It's really self-evident. Hundreds of millions of Americans believe, just like you and I do, that this is simply ridiculous. But your voice is being purposefully silenced by the mainstream media and even the government in an effort to make this sort of behavior look normal and overwhelmingly accepted. They want to hush those with a more biblical worldview from speaking out. In fact, the Obama administration is pressuring schools to open their bathrooms to students of the opposite sex. That's why you need to stand with us now. Please go to our website, djkm.org, to sign the petition calling on your governor to oppose the Obama administration's radical attempt to force schools to accommodate students who want to use the bathrooms and locker rooms of the opposite sex. Make no mistake, while our compassion for the sexually broken must be genuine, they need the healing that can be found only in Jesus. True compassion calls for truth from a biblical perspective. So don't delay. Go to djkm.org right away to sign the petition to your governor to stand against the Obama administration's overreach on public bathrooms. And I also want to ask you to stand with us by helping us produce and air an important TV special on gender confusion, which will air later this month. This vital program is called The Age of Gender Confusion. And as our thanks for your support, we'll send you a DVD copy of this important program as soon as it's completed later this month. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, P.O. Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. Your donation will help us finish production on this urgently important special, The Age of Gender Confusion, and broadcast it across America August 28th as our nation's children prepare to head back to school. We will alert viewers to the truth of this issue and motivate friends like you to get involved in the fight for the sake of America's next generation. You'll also be helping us continue the other important work of this ministry. As our thanks, we'll send you the DVD of this special, The Age of Gender Confusion, as soon as it's completed. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, P.O. Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org.
In Lewis Carroll's famous children's story, Through the Looking Glass, The characters Humpty Dumpty and Alice have a notable exchange. "When I use a word," Humpty Dumpty said in a rather scornful tone, "it means just what I choose it to mean, neither more nor less." "The question is," said Alice, "whether you can make words mean so many different things." "The question is," said Humpty Dumpty, "which is to be master, that's all." Carroll wrote that in 1872, yet it captures exactly what we see happening today. In an age of gender confusion, we are told that words have no objective meaning, and that labels like male and female are elastic and can mean whatever each of us wants them to mean at any given moment. How often have you heard someone proclaim with a great flourish of virtue, "I don't believe in labels"? Well, that may sound good to some, but a world without meaningful labels is a world of nonsense. And it's a world in which raw power trumps ideas and conscience, leading to tyranny. Humpty Dumpty, in fact, is right when he says, "The question is, which is to be the master?" The modern attempt to divest language of meaning, to be master over it until words are meaningless, is a power play, an attempt to overthrow God, one that is leading us toward cultural chaos. In a biblical worldview, things are quite different. Words have meaning because God communicates with us through His Son, the incarnate Word, and through the Bible, the written Word of God. Labeling or defining things is a God-given activity. This is how we make sense of the world around us. The first task Adam was given in the Garden of Eden was to label the animals. It is not noble or righteous to scorn labels or to twist them past the breaking point of understanding. To do so is essentially idolatrous and in some cases satanic. Instead of embracing the cultural jabberwocky that's leading us down the road to insanity and delusion, Christians need to be first among those who unapologetically stand for truth. Words have meaning and speak of an objective reality. Embracing this is one of the ways we obey and submit to God rather than trying to deny His authority and taking His place. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us on Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
It is so tragic that those that are spiritually dead and blind do not even know it.
This is not the first time that we have seen discriminatory responses to historic moments of progress for our nation. We saw it in the Jim Crow laws.
It's not a good practice for a man to use a lady's bathroom and vice versa.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.